together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. Father, Lord, I want to thank you for what we have heard this morning, for the good singing, for the opportunity to give in this offering. Lord, we thank you for the testimonies of your people. And Lord, I want to thank you for Brother Samuel and his family, for the ministry of Hope of Israel. And Lord, we want to thank you for the opportunity this morning to just be involved in your people, Lord, and in God's people, the Jews this morning, and to be able to support Israel. I pray now, Father, you'll bless the reading of thy word. Take these next few moments and speak to us, and we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. I want you to think for a few moments this morning about that phrase in verse number 32, where the Bible says here, and at evening when the sun did set. You know, when I think about that phrase this morning, that phrase catches my attention because of the Bible here in this phrase here, it gives us this fact about the period. It wants us to know that it's now evening time. Jesus and his disciples have been working all throughout the day, and it paints a picture in the fact that it says that when the sun did set. Now, Jewish day started, you know, at 6 o'clock in the air, ended and started at 6 o'clock in the afternoon. And so the sun is now setting here in this text. But it also gives us a principle when you think about this phrase, in an evening when the sun did set. What I mean by that this morning is that I don't have to elaborate the thought that time is running out on this age. Amen. Thank you. I think you'll agree with me, as I've heard older preachers say, that we're living in the Saturday afternoon of time. Amen. In other words, it is not midnight, but it is almost daylight. Amen. And the dawning of a new day. Amen. This era and this age is swiftly coming to an end. The apathy that's in our churches and the complacency that's in our churches and the corruption and the wickedness that is at an all-time high around the world, all of these are signs that points to us and reminds us of what Romans chapter 13 and verse 11 said, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. He said, for the night is far spent and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Amen. He said, we're to be aware of the day and the time and the hour in which we're living in. When we come to this text tonight or this morning, I want to take that phrase for just a few moments this morning, where the Bible says, in an evening when the sun did set. I want to preach on life's setting sun. Amen. Life's setting sun. For just as sure as the sun is setting physically here in our text, the sun, my friend, or naturally, the sun is setting spiritually in this hour that we're living in this morning. Amen. The things that we're seeing take place around this world, even in our own nation, the devastation that's on every hand across this country, is nothing more than God trying to get the attention of people in this hour and remind them that we're swiftly coming to the close. We're coming to the last days. We're in the last days of the last days. Do you believe that this morning? And when we come to this text, I've noticed three different crowds in this text here. There's a crowd in verse number 32 that is working. Amen. The Bible said that they brought unto him all that were diseased and that were possessed with devils. And then there's a crowd in verse number 32 that's watching, as the Bible says, and all the city was gathered together at the door. Amen. And then thank God there's a crowd that's winning. In verse 34, the Bible said that he healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. I want to say this morning, I'm glad that God's got more power than the devil. Amen. The Bible said in 1 John, greater is he that is in you than he that's in this world. Amen. I'm not giving the devil no credit. I'm not letting him ride piggyback this morning. I'm not going to praise him. I'm telling you this morning, God is still on the throne. God is still in charge. And there's nothing that's going to happen that what it don't pass through his hands. Amen. And when we come to this text here this morning, I want you to notice three things in this text, and we'll be through. Number one, I want you to see in verse number 32 the people who are going. Amen. I'm talking about life setting sun. As the sun is setting in this text here, you'll notice in verse 32 that there are people that are going and they're serving Jesus. Amen. What I notice about this crowd in verse 32 is that, my friend, is that they are that these people here are bringing people. The Bible said they brought unto him. Amen. You know what that means? That means they brought people and they just kept coming. Amen. In other words, they brought somebody to Jesus and then they went and got another person and brought to Jesus. And then they went and got another person and brought to Jesus. I mean, these people are going. Amen. If you're going to do something for God, you and I better do it right now while we still got time. Because life's setting sun. It is setting, my friend. If we're going to get somebody to Jesus, we got to do it today. We got to do it now. The Bible said now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Y'all still with me? Amen. I'm telling you, friend, this morning, we got to go after people. And these people are going in this text. You know what Beasley Pack is really all about? Going. I can't go to Israel. I can't go to the Jews far and wide. Brother Samuel travels this country going from synagogue to synagogue and witnessing from street corner to street corner, holding rallies and tent meetings and preaching to Jews. And boy, I thank God for the work that him and Brother Sasser's doing and going over to Israel, endangering their lives, amen, to do that. I mean, don't you thank God hazarding their lives for the sake of the gospel, amen? We can't do that, but we can give, amen? And I'm going to tell you, these people here, they're going. Amen. And they are bringing and they are busy. Notice what the Bible said in verse 32. And they brought unto him all. I like that word all, don't you? That makes Calvinists nervous. Amen. But I like the word all, don't you? And they weren't just bringing some. They were bringing all. You say, how were they bringing all? They couldn't get everybody. I'll tell you what that means. It means everybody that was in their pathway, the all that was in their world, they were going after them. Amen. And when they brought one, they knew of somebody else, and they went and got them. And when they got them to Jesus, they thought about another person. I mean, here's a crowd in verse 32. These people are busy. I ask you this morning, and I asked myself this question this morning. Are we bringing people to Jesus? Are we busy about the Father's business this morning? Are we busy? I don't want to be so caught up in this world. Hey, it's 12 o'clock on the dot. And I don't want to be so caught up in time that when it comes 12 o'clock, I got to go. Somebody say amen. I'm telling you, friend, listen, this world is too busy in this hour. The Bible said in the last days it'd be going to and fro in the earth, and that's exactly what's happening. I mean, everybody, 5-year-olds got schedules now, amen? I mean, they're walking around with books and schedules and calendars, amen? This world's in a pressure cooker. This world's turned upside down and inside out. I'm telling you, people still going to hell this morning like they were 25 years ago, and God's still saving sinners this morning like he did 25 years ago. We just got to keep going and we got to be busy in these last days. There's no retirement when it comes to serving God. Isn't that right? Say, preacher, when you going to retire? When I draw my last breath, when I'm going to retire. Amen. When you going to quit preaching? When I can't preach another drop. Amen. When you going to quit singing? When I ain't got a voice that'll sing anymore. When you going to quit going to church? When somebody won't pick me up and roll me in. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, when you going to quit praying? When I draw my last breath. There's no place to retire. There's no sideline in the service of God. There's no back seat when it comes to living for Jesus. Get off the sideline and get on the firing line and give God your best and keep your foot on the throttle and serve God and march to Zion until he comes. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm talking about these people are going. I notice in this verse here that they did not let the darkness stop them. The Bible said when the sun did set, they didn't let the time, the hour, the darkness stop them. Hey, there's a lot of darkness going on in this country, but we can't let the wickedness of politicians and the wickedness of people, my friend, keep us. We're to shine brighter the darker this world gets. Hey, they didn't let the disease. They wasn't afraid to get close to sinners. Hey, what? Listen, some of them had some pretty bad diseases, but they weren't afraid. They knew if Jesus could heal them, then he could take care of them. Amen. I'm telling you this morning, God will take care of his children. And they didn't let the devils, amen. Thank God they didn't let the evil wickedness of this world stop them from getting people to Christ. Amen. You know, if we're going to win sinners, we're going to have to get our hands dirty. What I mean by that is we don't become who they are, But what we do have to do is we have to go to where they're at. We have to reach them with the gospel. Remember several years ago picking up a man on a Sunday morning, bringing him to church. Just a few miles from here. He was riding in my car, and as we was coming down the road, and to my shame I say this morning, but it's reality. He stunk so bad that I had to crack my window because, I don't mean this to be funny, I mean this to be serious, very serious. I literally thought I was going to throw up in the car. And I cracked that window. You know what my flesh said to me in that moment? My flesh said, boy, I bet you wish you wouldn't have picked him up if you'd have known this. That's what my flesh said. And my flesh said, by the time you get to church, you're going to smell just like he does. I'm telling you what my flesh said. Oh, I'm saved. I love sinners. I live in the same ungodly flesh everybody else lives in. But I'll tell you what, the Holy Ghost spoke to me at the same time. It said, son, your sin stunk worse than what you smell in this car right now. You think about a Savior that would leave the pure portals of glory, the holiness and the all that heaven had to offer, to come to a sin-cursed world, the stunk in the very nostrils of a holy God, just to bring us to the cross. I see people that are going. We must do all we can while there's time. And I see the people who are gathering. Look at verse number 33. The Bible says, and all the city was gathered together at the door. Now, I noticed that what was happening in verse 32, it got the attention and the attendance and the amazement of those people. In verse 33, they come to Peter's door and they're standing at the door. People are being healed right there at the very doorway, and Jesus is helping them. It got society's attention, and this crowd is watching and they're wondering and they're witnessing what is taking place. With the tragedy in verse 32, or verse number 33, is that they're not getting involved. Amen. They're seeing what's happening. They're seeing others experience what's happening. They're watching people bring people to Jesus. They're watching people get help. They're watching people get healed. But they're just standing there. They're just gathering at the door. You know, they could have went and got somebody themselves. They could have been busy, but they just spectated. They were just observing what was taking place. What I'm saying to us this morning, we have to be careful that we don't just become spectators in God's work. Amen. You see, God didn't save us, and don't take what I'm about to say wrong, but God didn't save us just to give us a good church. Amen. I'm glad we got a good church to go to. God didn't save us and leave us here just to worship God. I believe we ought to worship him every day in private devotion and in public worship. Amen. Now I'm telling you, listen, we enter to worship, but we leave to serve. When we leave this morning, there's a world dying and going to hell. We'll rub shoulders with people in and out, everywhere, in everyday business that don't know Jesus Christ, and thank God for organized visitation. But it's not enough, amen. We must pass tracts out. We must go after sinners. We must tell people about Jesus. Why? Because life's setting sun is about to set on this world, amen. The great white throne. We'll see people, and I say this to me as well. I'm not shaming, but I'm just preaching. We will see people that we could have won that we let slip through our fingertips. I don't want that to be true about my life, but it will be. And what I can do this morning and what you can do this morning is make up our mind that we're not going to just be observers in God's work. When God's working, when God's moving, what we need to do is be involved. Hey, be involved in singing in this choir. Don't retire from the choir unless you got a physical problem. Amen. I don't mean an ingrown toenail. Can I get an amen right there? Wrap it and come on. Amen. Isn't that right? Listen, you say, well, you know, don't retire. That's how your church dies. He told that church at Sardis to be watchful and strengthen the things that remain. You know what I'm doing, and I hope you'll do this with me. Maybe you are, but if not, I hope you'll start doing this with me. When I see an empty seat, I notice that. Don't you notice them empty seats in the choir? I notice that empty seat and it bothers me greatly. You say, why does it bother you? Because I know for every empty seat that comes in that choir, it's one step closer to death. Amen? So you watch and you strengthen the things that remain. When your Sunday school class starts dropping off, Sunday school teacher, you check on them people that's not coming. Amen? You find out why they're not in Sunday school. You tell them you missed them. You tell them you're praying for them. You go after them. You say, why? You watch and strengthen the things that remain. Amen? I'm telling you, listen, whenever things start, and I don't know why it happened, but every now and then somebody, you know, lose their mind. They'll come talking about a church member, and they'll come in and listen, that dress standard won't be quite what it is. I'm not going to let it go. Amen? I'm never going to let that go. Can I get an amen right there? We're going to keep it right and tight to the very end. I didn't let it go with my children when they was growing up. I sure ain't going to let it go with the church. Amen? I'm telling you, friend, we're going to keep it like it's supposed to be. Why? Because we got to watch and strengthen the things that remain. If you let it go a little bit, I mean literally, if you let it go an inch, it'll go almost a mile. Amen? Is that right? You got to watch. You look around church, whole row right there empty. Could be some men sitting on that row saying amen. I'm not jumping on men, but I'm telling you, there, right there is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's 8 opportunities for some men to get up. When I started preaching years ago, when I got saved and started preaching, others that are older than me, you remember this, front rows were filled with preachers. And if they wasn't preachers, they was filled with men that were there for one reason. You know what it was? To say amen and worship God. They had an amen corner in every church. I remember that. Our amen corners are dying nowadays, and we got to fill them back up. When you sit in that corner, what that means is you got to say amen. Isn't that right? I mean, you got to get there. Y'all still with me this morning, aren't you? I know it's 12:06, amen, but you can hold on just a little bit longer, amen. I'm telling you this morning, our churches are dying. We got to watch and strengthen the things that remain. We got to be observant, amen, not just stand there and watch what's going on, but like Brother Laddie said, we got to get involved, amen. I'm telling you, when the high winds of heaven start blowing, you need to put your sail up, praise God, and say, Lord, blow in my direction. Amen. I'm saying you got to get with it. If you don't, my friend, it'll die one person at a time. Hallelujah. Talking about old time religion this morning. Talking about keeping it right and tight and going on. You know, I think sometimes the reason we preach past 12 o'clock and start at 11:50 is because God wants us to know, hey, you don't get out on your time, you get out on my time. Is that right? Amen. We don't come to get out, we come to get in. Can I get a witness right there? You say, I put a roast in the oven. You should have put it in a crock pot. Amen. I'm just telling you this morning, isn't God good? Amen. Isn't it good to be where God is? Isn't it good to have a church to go to? Isn't it good to be where the presence of God's hair. I'm glad I'm in an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, King James, blood-washed, blood-bought. Thank God. Amen. It's just good. And to be where God is this morning. Amen. Good to hear somebody say amen. I've been in some churches. Amen. I'd have paid $20 and got somebody hung with me. Isn't that right? And our churches are getting quieter. I go back to some churches year after year after year, and I watch them. See how they get quiet, Brother Gravely? Them gray-haired saints die. But it don't have to be that way. Somebody can pick up that torch. Somebody can say, man, I can feel one of them 8 seats right there. Somebody said, I can feel that place. I'm talking about the people who are gathering. Then I notice finally the power that is great. You know, Jesus always has power, doesn't he? But the reason that he exercised his power in verse 34 was because of the people in verse 32. You want God to exercise his power, and I want God to exercise his power. But God isn't showcasing for nobody. But if we'll do our part, he'll always do his part. And I noticed the power that is great, the power that cured diseases. He healed many that were sick of divers diseases. The power that conquered devils, he cast out many devils. And the power that constrained devils, he suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. You see, it did not matter, those many that we read about in verse 34, it did not matter who they were, or where they came from, or what their problem was. If you wanted help, you got help. I'm glad it's that way with the Lord. Do you know this morning, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter where you came from or what your problem is this morning. I'm going to tell you something. I may have not preached anything that had anything to do with your problem this morning. But if you want help, you can get help. You believe that? I'm telling you this morning, sometimes I have felt help. When I've been in a service, I have found it in a song. Sometimes, though the preacher may have done a good job preaching, I found my help in a testimony. You just never know, but if you come seeking, you'll find. I never want to go to church and not seek. And what this text proves to us today is that Christ still works even in the closing hours of the day. And that there are still others in need until the final ending of the day. And that we can be instrumental and must never stop working no matter how late the day may become. You say, preacher, the hour's late, Jesus is coming. I know that. But I tell you, we're in a good place this morning. I think about the privilege God's given us to be born in America. It breaks my heart to see the condition of our country. Nobody knows what the next 60 days are going to hold. But we do know one thing, that no matter what happens in November, God's still on the throne. And our hope this morning is not in Washington or a man, but our hope is in Him. And I'm going to tell you, just like God took care of us in 2020, and just like God has taken care of us these last 4 years, I promise you, God will take care of us. What we need to do is keep going after them sinners.